Don't look at me like that.
Where do you want to begin, Scott?
I have a secret I've been keeping from you.
No shit. This motherfucker. Can I tell you?
We got
Welcome
already.
To Not According to Plan. I'm Sam Valentine. This is Scott Flannery. Can I tell you how many times people have come up to me and they've been like, so you knew, right? I'm like, no, I didn't know. His mother who birthed him did not know. You think I know? No.
You're so adorable. You did not know when Sam was at my finale party with me, and she was crying. There was snot. It was the whole thing. It was
I
adorable.
Cried.
I love you so much.
I cried so hard. So I don't even know where to fucking begin.
I just want to say it real quick.
Yeah.
I won the Amazing Race. So it was one day shy of 11 months from the time it was filmed, the finish line, to the time it was shown on TV.
And you didn't tell a single soul.
Not one person.
That's
zero
so impressive.
People. Someone was like, have you ever held a secret that long before? And without missing a beat, I go, yes, I was gay and in the closet for 19 years.
I've had some practice.
Or 18 years, but still. And he started laughing.
Oh, my God.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, where to begin?
I think that's what was not according to plan.
For both
I did
of
not
us.
Plan.
I'm not doing one this
so,
week.
Yeah, let's jump right into race. This is our last Amazing Race episode. So for those who are joining us for these recaps that have not heard previous episodes, thanks so much for tuning in.
Yeah, sorry to spoil it for you, but...
But I saw that people have posted on Reddit about us. That's so awesome. Thanks for sharing the Amazing Race fans Facebook page. We've had some posts there. So thanks for tuning into the recaps we'll do today, obviously. But starting with our next episode, we will go back to our regularly scheduled programming, which I think is still amazing.
Yeah, you should still turn in because, like, I'm awesome.
Yes, you are.
People are like, oh, Scott's podcast. I'm like...
No, it's Sam's podcast if it's anybody's. I'm the guest star.
I just own the microphones. Okay, so let's go with this.
Okay.
This is a mess. I've been a mess since Thursday. On Thursday,
mm-hmm.
which was the finale, you rented. Did you rent it or did mm-hmm. CBS rent it?
CBS does not throw any parties for us. So I rented. I know.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. CBS, come on.
Right. Well, you would think, I thought since the show was renewed, they might have been like, well, thank you. We'll rent this out. Do you know what I mean? Like, I feel like our cast was one of the reasons it was renewed.
Most TV shows have parties.
Mm-hmm.
Have like a kickoff party and a finale party.
It's very difficult to be invited to the Survivor finale party sponsored by CBS a week before your Amazing Race finale that does not have a party. Sponsored by CBS.
Yeah, what the shaft? What is... What?
Big Brother even has a party, but I don't know. I don't know.
All right, well, CBS, you dropped the ball, and...
That's all right. We still got together. About, I think it was 14 or 15 of us still got together and had this finale party.
Well, if
amazing.
They want to apologize, they can email me at notaccordingtoplan@gmail.com and also look at my resume on IMDb under Sam Valentine. And
I thought it was notaccordingtoplanpodcast@gmail.com. Oh, my goodness.
I'm getting very wrapped up at the moment.
Place.
So Thursday, we went to this party. Mm-hmm. First of all, we got there and it was a freaking shit show.
Because it was NBA finals.
And the bar did not set aside that room until the moment we got there. So they had to clear out all these people and redo the bar. And like, it was a whole thing. And then someone was like, so you know what happens, right? And I was like, no, what are you talking about? And they're like, the episode already played on the East Coast. Have you not watched it? And I was like... No, I have waited 11 months to figure out what happened in this.
Uh-huh.
You think I'm going to watch it before I go to the bar, to the party? You're high. So everyone was like, so you know. And I was like, first of all, stop.
Yeah.
No words. I'm going to figure it out on my own. This is going to be my piece. I'm going to talk about my journey in Eurovision. And we get there and shit show, whatever. They cleared it out. We had a couple drinks. Finally, the show comes on. Thank goodness. Here we are. And everyone in the bar continues to talk. Because it was like half cast, half people, half whatever.
Yeah.
And their friends and family or whatever. And I was pissed.
Did you like when I... Are you... Sorry, are you leading into this?
Oh, did you not see me get up on the bar stool and yell at everyone to shut up?
Oh, no, you did that too?
Yeah.
Oh, no, I thought you were about to lead into when I stood up and did that.
And no one listened.
Right, and I felt like I only had one shot.
Yeah, so I decided to take a shot. Not an alcoholic one. And I sat up on my bar stool, and I turned around and I go, can everyone please shut up? I'm watching my friend run the amazing race here. And I looked all around, and the only person who looked up at me was Bank. And he was like very taken aback. He was really sweet, so I hope that he was not offended by me. But everyone couldn't shut the fuck up. And yeah. It was like I didn't know what was gonna happen, so right. I needed every detail. So I still need to go back and like listen to the words because I couldn't hear a lot. But let's just say that was not necessarily necessary. You guys fucking killed it.
Thank you.
And you won, and Caleb looks over at me because he knew I was just going to start crying because I am a very emotional person, and I just start I'm going to cry right now.
I love this.
I just started bawling. I was so happy for you.
Oh my God. I love you.
Huh. So I ran over and found you amongst the crowd of people, and I was like, oh my Lord, I'm here for him. Yeah, and I'm so happy for you.
Thank you. Thank you. It's so surreal.
How does it, like, I don't even, should we talk about the episode?
Yeah. I think people love these behind the scenes little vignettes. I've got a couple for Chicago, but gosh, I mean, to watch, I'll say this, the cast, I think, grew closer because we had this secret of A, being on the show, and then B, everyone not knowing who got off when.
Mm-hmm.
And so we've had this for about a year now, this group chat. We've hung out. There's been like 3 or 4 reunions. It's been a thing. And so I think a lot of us were a little bittersweet about the finale airing because it's like, oh, like the whole story has been told. Yeah. There's no like remaining secret. We don't have this shared experience that no one else knows about. Now everyone knows about it.
Yeah.
You know, so it's just, in fact, we're recording this moment after I just left brunch with the last remaining cast that were here that flew in for this. And it's like, oh gosh, everyone's now gone. Like the weekend's over. We're all going back to normal life tomorrow. it's sad, but you know what? We had a year and a half all in of this amazing experience. And it's just time to move forward from that.
Yeah. And like, is the check in the mail or?
Yeah, I've been told by 2 previous winners you get it actually pretty fast.
Really?
As in like 4 days.
Are they just going to give you a big chunk? Is it like
the whole? No, it's the whole half million in one check.
Minus taxes.
No, I have to pay them on my own.
Oh, ball sack. So you gotta save that aside and like just put it.
Oh, I mean, luckily I work for a CPA firm.
You work for an accountant.
Yeah, so I'm literally meeting with a tax partner next week and I'm like, let's just go ahead and take care of this now.
What are you going to do with it? You guys, this is a real conversation because Scott and I haven't talked since that night.
No.
So.
Not at all.
What are you going to do with that money?
I keep saying I'm a boring winner, but I feel like a lot of people actually say, no, you're not. So I'm going to obviously pay off student loans and my car loan. So those are all
and
the loans I have.
And you can pay it all off.
Pay it all off. I don't have credit card debt, so I'm good there. So like I will be debt free.
Which is like getting a raise.
Right. Because yeah, all my monthly payments now go to Pocket.
Mm-hmm.
And then I will save the rest, go back. I'm buying my parents their anniversary present this year, which is a trip.
Do they know that?
I had an interview with CBS where they asked that question, and I basically said it on live TV.
Oh, so now they know. Okay.
So and they were watching. So I was like, well, okay, Mom and Dad, you're literally watching right now. That's your prize.
Enjoy, Karen.
Yeah. So I'm sending them on a trip of their choosing, which I already know where they want to go. It's domestic. They're just not international folk.
Okay.
Yeah. So we're gonna spend some money on a cool trip in the U.S.
And you're gonna go with them?
No. Okay. Well, no. Short answer is no. I'm gonna let them enjoy their time together. And then I am going to invest the rest in whatever I need to. I'm gonna work with a financial planner for that. But I'm investing because in about a year I think I'm gonna purchase a house, so it will be a down payment. So it's all just very like quote unquote nerdy money things. It's nothing's like I'm buying a sports car or I'm going to go on a round the world trip.
You're adulting like so hard.
I am. Yeah, I'm adulting. So, but that's what I always said I would do, even if I won a different show or won some prize money. And it's just because, I don't know, you gotta be smart about that stuff. You gotta be smart about that stuff. Would you, what would you do if you had won?
Well, I've thought about it. Clearly not enough. I would like to pay my parents back for college.
Uh-huh.
But I would do it sneakily because they wouldn't take it.
Oh, that's why I'm doing what I'm doing.
It's smart.
Yeah.
It's smart. Yeah, you got it. You know, because we're very, very lucky.
Mm-hmm.
So in that aspect, I would like sneakily do them, which is something I'm going to do one day, whether they like it or not, mom and dad. I'm going to get them something big, special.
Oh, I like that.
Because I'm going to make so much money one day. And probably donate a little so I don't feel like a total dick.
Yeah, I usually don't talk about that piece because I don't want people to be like, oh, which charity are you going to focus on?
This is, keep going because I have another question.
About that. Yeah. And so, you know, I work with Build On and I actually have the funds I need for that trek this year. But
oh, so you are going to go to Africa.
I actually am going to Africa, yes. But then I am very fortunate to be asked to be a part of Hearts of Reality.
Oh, yeah.
And that is basically an event that happens every August in Orlando or Kissimmee. Kissimmee?
Kissimmee?
Yeah. You all know. Okay, outside of Orlando.
Florida.
Yep, Florida. And you're essentially raising money for Give Kids the World, which is an organization slash kind of resort type area, mm-hmm. for children with terminal or life-threatening diseases or ailments and their families. So it's, I like to say for people who've never heard of them, it's kind of like Make-A-Wish where the child is saying, I want to go to Disney or I want to do something in Orlando. Mm-hmm. And so Give Kids the World actually houses them nearby and provides like the food and the transportation and all of that. And then they do whatever the wish was, is what it to be. I could be slightly off on that. I'm just learning about the charity. But Hearts
they don't
of
care. They'll still take your money.
Yeah, they're like, yeah, great. Thanks for promoting it. But Hearts of Reality is an event where they have a lot of reality folks from Survivor, Amazing Race, and Big Brother mainly. But then they have a couple like from like MasterChef and Hell's Kitchen and whatnot. And we go and we basically do an event where we take photos with fans. We sign autographs. We like go to social events.
You're doing that in a couple weeks, right?
Mm-hmm. And if you're wondering, like, how is that raising money? It's because people who want to meet us all, they pay an admission fee, and 100% of that goes to the organization.
Oh, I like that.
And in addition to that, we bring in donations before we arrive. So that's what I'm working on right now.
Cool.
Yeah. So I'm going to donate the balance of what I don't raise to what I promise to raise.
Oh, that's really cool.
Yeah.
That's really cool. If people wanted to donate to that, can they do that?
Yeah, they can. If you go to my TAR29 Scott Flannery Facebook page, or even on some of my most recent Twitters, I'll post them again. But it's even Googling Hearts of Reality, you can look for the Scott Flannery page and donate directly there. And cool. 100% of your dollars goes to them. There's no processing fees. There's no off-the-top overhead. Every dollar
That's
goes
great.
Straight to Give Kids the World.
That's how it should be.
Yeah.
Okay, that's tight. I didn't know you were going to do that. Well, shit. All right, so how many people have asked you for money yet? That's my question. How you were talking about charities and stuff?
Yeah.
I think there... Did you receive any sort of, like, training from CBS on how to deal with this?
No, and Brooke and I were talking about this.
Because it's a lot at once.
Yes.
Especially dealing with money and... recognition of people knowing that you have money. Also, a lot of people don't realize, one, that you split it, and two, that taxes are taken out.
And it's almost half.
Yes, yeah. Literally, because bonuses and stuff like that is taxed so high.
Mm-hmm.
But if you do another couple reality shows, you know, you can consider it a... Do you know that? If you do, like, a couple more reality shows, you can write it off, and you get, like, wait, like 10% less taxes taken out?
It's 5 reality shows.
Oh.
I've already looked this up.
Perfect.
I mean, I've technically been on 3... But they were all years apart, so I don't think it counts.
Oh, really?
Yeah, they're not in the same year. And now I'm contracted to CBS for a year, so all is well in the world. No,
wait, you don't want to be on Candy Crush?
Candy Crush. No, but I did have one person blatantly ask me for money right after they found out. They said, congratulations, you should give me this amount of money. No, and it wasn't like a joke. It was like, give this to me.
Hmm.
I did not
that's a,
know
that's
how
a,
to proceed with that conversation.
That's a delete contact from the phone.
Right. So I just didn't, I didn't respond. Because I'm like, I don't even know how to give you a response that would make you feel as even though I don't know.
Like, no.
Right. I did have someone else ask me to do something else, like use my, I'm going to use fame very loosely here, but just so.
Right. Oh, no, you're
okay,
you're
my
in
fame
15 minutes.
To, like, ask for something for her son that was medical. It's hard to explain. And I felt bad because I'm
it's tough.
I don't know you. I don't want to say something that, you know, maybe I get him what he needs, but then that takes someone else, like, off a list or something.
Right.
And I don't know the whole situation. So, again, I didn't really respond because I don't want to get involved, and I feel like I'm put in a rough spot. So, I did hear about stories of this way back when Survivor 2, Australian Outback, Tina, she's one of my favorite winners, who I get to meet at Hearts of Reality, so I'm very, very excited.
She's such a nerd.
She, I remember one of her interviews, because that's when Survivor, I think, was the biggest it ever was season 2. And she was like, yeah, it's just you get hit up for money and people want you, expect you to do X, Y, and Z, and they don't realize.
Well, it's like when actors go to restaurants and they tip their waiter the standard amount, people are like, ugh, what an asshole. He has so much money. And right. It's like you can't go around handing out $100 bills because then you have $0.
That's right.
Like you just have to. So I was wondering, I feel like they should give you some kind of training. I know sometimes they do. Survivor that does that? That does like a form of training,
like
for
post-show training?
Yeah, because it's a lot of fame at once.
Yes.
For a regular person who's never worked in this like realm. Yeah. And then there's money associated with that. People get like a little crazy.
Yeah, I haven't heard of anything with Survivor.
Okay.
But Brooke and I were talking about this because obviously, we couldn't tell them we won, but I've talked to winners before, and they just speak in general terms because they obviously didn't know we won either. And they were like, yeah, it's hard because there is no training. There's no book that says, you are on a reality show. Here's what's next. And even if you're out third, you know, the moment you're out, you're inundated with interviews. You're still hit up for, like, appearances, or people are still reaching out to you, and either they have a favorable or unfavorable impression of you. I think I'm like, I really want to write a book about it. It's a handbook for people about to go on a show, not for like general public. I mean, I guess you could read it. But it's like, here's what to expect. And if you win the money, here are 14 options where you might think about using your money, because maybe you don't even think in a way of like saving. Maybe you think I should splurge. Or, you know, just how do I respond to fans in a respectful manner while, you know, responding, because you want to,
yeah, you
but
to
then
talk to your people,
that
but
when do you shut it down? Like,
right.
I have a couple of fans who will reach out every day, and you know, I try to, I might like it or something, because I'm so grateful to have you interested in what I'm doing. But there's every once in a while, it's like, what are you doing? And that's like, that's not a text I'm going to respond to, because like, I'm sorry, I don't know who you are. Do you know? And I also have. I don't mean this in like a flattery way. I have a couple hundred other messages I'm trying to get back to, because I want people to feel appreciative, and because I know what it's like to reach out to someone that you're interested in.
Yeah, so that's the weird stuff that like no one tells you about.
Yeah, it's weird, but you know, I think I'm balancing it. It takes a lot of work, and as we've discussed before, I'm introverted, which people get confused about. I'm an outgoing introvert.
Yeah.
So that means that my energy gets super drained by doing all these public things. And I've been go, go, go a lot recently. And it's not slowing down for at least a week or two. So for me, and I'm looking at you like, oh, I'm excited after this, I get to rest for like 2 hours. And
just
like,
so you know, Scott's super big league and he won $500,000. And we're podcasting on a beautiful Sunday and he's going to go home and do laundry.
Yes, because it's going to be super quiet and I'm just going to have myself. It's going to be great.
Did you like turn off your phone and just pick up a book?
Yeah, exactly. I'm going to start a new book club book. And when I have an interview tonight, so it's really kind of just downtime before that. So.
God.
Yeah.
This is nuts.
It is nuts. Like I don't think I expected it to be that exciting for people, but I'm glad it is.
I wonder. I'm such a dick. I wonder if you would have came in third.
Uh-huh.
Like how this would be different, because we're friends with a lot of the same people on Facebook.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of people have been like, congratulations, Scott, blah, blah, blah. Like my new Facebook news feed on Friday was like it was like after the election, except it was like it was like Flannery night all up and down.
Flannery night. Which, oh, to all my friends who are listening, I'm still working through those. I'm going to like them all, I promise. Okay, yeah. Continue.
But in that mix of things, it's not a podcast if the dogs don't bark. In that mix of things, of comments and people posted like a picture they had with you and stuff, there's a solid handful of those people I'm pretty sure you probably haven't talked to in a solid year at least. People are like, cool, congratulations to my good friend. I'm like, are you good friends? Or did you want to make a Facebook post about someone and put your picture up with them? It's fascinating to me. I can think, I'm not going to say on the podcast, but I've seen a couple and I'm like, I guarantee you he does not have your number in his phone.
Oh, gosh. I mean, I guess when I... No, I understand where you're coming from, the sentiment, but...
That's why I'm a dick.
If I had a friend that was on a show, like, even if I haven't spoken to them, I guess, in, like, 10 years, I would want... I feel the excitement of, oh, I know them. And I think these friends on Facebook... Because I'm really not friends with people I'm not friends with right. in real life. Being on a reality show and winning it... is the number one goal I've had literally for 16 years. And there's a behind the scenes YouTube, actually, they still did those for the finale.
Oh,
and
cool.
One of them is our taxi ride from the final challenge to the finish line. And we knew we were winning. So it's like this whole time of like, unless this taxi literally flips over, like we're going to win. And so it's this, you can see our raw reaction of like, oh my God, because this is happening. Like it's like so much anxiety. We didn't even know how to process and no wonder it didn't make the show. But I say something like, it's a 15-year dream come true. Like the goal has been achieved. And I say that because all of these friends who you're right, I probably haven't spoken to in a while. The one thing they remember about me is Survivor, Amazing Race, or Big Brother. I was going to get on it and win it. And it happened. So they're like, yep, that's on brand.
Yeah, that's on brand. He sets goals. What can I say?
Exactly.
Do you want to talk about the final episode?
Yeah, let's do it. Yeah, I got some stories for you.
Very many notes because I was just really busy crying.
Because you're watching the finale. So
drinking and crying. All right, Chicago. You know, it's Chicago.
We did get premium class, which is business class, in case you're wondering. There was a first class above us.
Yeah,
so it was even better.
Like a pod.
Well, we had a pod.
It looked comfy.
Yeah. Well, I guess we had a half pod, if you will.
Yeah, you guys, like,
but the seats did recline to laying down, which I've never experienced in my life. We were so lucky.
Was it like just so much better than a regular plane that way?
Oh, yes. I mean, let me paint the picture. It's not like a bed. I mean, you're not going to sleep the best you've ever slept in your entire life. But you get noise-canceling headphones.
They give those
they
to you?
Well, for the flight.
For the flight.
Yeah. You get your pillow and blanket. It was 18 hours.
Oh, hell yes.
It was around there, 18, 16, somewhere around there. We got the eye mask, whatever. You got everything. Mm. And then I laid down and I slept. But I only slept maybe 5 hours. And then I would go in and out.
You're
probably too excited. That's the thing. They're like, well, you know, get your rest because it's the finale. And I go, I'm on the finale. Like, I can't go to bed.
What am I going to do? Take a nap?
Right. And Brooke and I knew, well, obviously now we knew we were in the finale, knew there was a memory challenge coming up. So we sat down and rememorized, because we were doing it throughout the race, but memorized everything about the race, everything. From our placements, which ended up being the question, mm-hmm. to who did what roadblock on each team in each episode, the order of the boot, who picked who in the first challenge, the order of the first challenge, the 22 of us in order, the cities we went to, the layovers on the way to those cities. I mean, both sides of the detour. We memorized everything. And it took us, we would work for like 45 minutes and then take a 15-minute break. And then 45 minutes and take a 15-minute break.
Did the other teams do this?
No.
Oh.
And
but they all kind of got it done, though, at the challenge.
I mean, well, no offense to the race designers. I just don't think the order you place is that difficult.
Oh, no. I thought this episode was pretty...
Well, before you say it was easy, I will give you some context about it. But I think the memory challenge is not hard if you just literally remember your placement.
Yeah.
I mean, they didn't memorize the things that we did. So if they did have a previous memory task in the race has been like, what is the hat each check-in person has worn?
Oh.
And in each country, or like, what did they say to you when you got to the mat?
Oh.
Like, it's been a little bit more difficult in the past. So I do think Mom and Dad and Lola would have had a harder time with the memory challenge because they did not study as much as we did.
Got it.
But they might have gotten it right. I mean, they're all very smart people, so
right.
Who knows?
Cool.
We were strategic about it. But we were also strategic about the bags where we checked ours. So how it worked is, you know, we checked in for our flight at the ticket counter and we were all together. And then I think it was Tara who asked, you know, are we all checking our bags? And I said, oh, no. Like we can't because, you know, it has to go through customs on the way back in. And so if we don't pick it up, then I don't think we can get it ever.
Yeah.
Because we weren't physically there. And that's like a breach of security or something. I said something like that. And they were like, yeah, you're right. And then I look at Brooke and I go, we're definitely gate checking because they don't know that that's the strategy. So we went.
So you tricked everyone?
Yeah. So we went to the gate and they were boarding premium class and we let Team Mom and Dad and Lolo go in front of us. And as soon as they went onto the jetway, we went to the gate agent. We're like, we want to gate check these, please. And they took our bags at the gate.
So is that why you didn't have your bags?
Yeah.
How? Because the bags had to go through customs and stuff and the race just needed to get going?
I mean, that's the story I gave. To be honest, I didn't care what happened to the bag because the rules of the...
Fuck this shit.
I mean, no, as a super fan, I've seen previous seasons where people in the final three check their bags. Like, you check them. And what happens, just so everyone knows, what happens is if you don't pick up your bag on the carousel, they hold it in the baggage office... for up to a certain amount of time. But we knew we were flying back out of Chicago less than 24 hours later.
Oh, so you could just pop it back on.
Literally, we got our bags. Well, I'll tell you more about the bags. In theory, we just got them 24 hours later.
That's why you couldn't change clothes on the way home because you were gross because you checked your bag.
Well, I'll tell you that full story in a moment. But yeah, so they actually keep your bags. There's really no issue with customs or anything. I made that up.
Wait. You could just do that?
Yeah, if you actually... This happens in domestic. If you check your bag and then you, like, leave the airport, they hold it for... I think it's only, like, 24, 48 hours.
Sweet.
But you have to... Like, that's not a common practice. You can't just, like, assume that happens all the time. We wrote a note on our bag. This is very intense. That said we had a family emergency and that we would be back within 24 hours to pick up the bag. So, like, I don't know if that helped... But, like, you know, we knew we were going back, I guess is what I'm trying to say.
I was wondering why you guys didn't have your bags the whole time.
Well, yeah, and it was super smart because I've been, you know, carrying both for most of the time. But, like, me running around Chicago with two bags, we ran over 6.5 miles, we found out.
Wow.
And, like, I'm not running with two bags.
Yeah, no.
In that hot heat. It was summertime. No. So that's why we ended up checking the bags. And, yeah, in our fanny packs, we had a change of underwear, our toothbrushes. And our passports and our money. And that was it.
Perfect.
Because, so that's what I was going to say. A lot of people online are like, why didn't they get a penalty? Because of the rules of the Amazing Race state, the only thing.
I fucking knew you'd know the rule book back to front.
Go on. The only thing you need to check in at the pit stop or finish line is your passport.
Nothing else.
You need nothing else. I could walk naked to the finish line. And if I'm holding my passport in my hand, I'm allowed to win.
You should have done that.
I know. That would have been really, like, stripped down as I was running. Yeah. So when everyone's like, oh, their bags, this, that, and the other. No, your bags are just everything that you wanted to bring. For the record, the rule book states you can bring whatever you want in the race. I could take 15 roller bags if I wanted to. It's allowed.
It would just be dumb.
I mean, no one ever has. Yeah. They were like, you can bring two.
Oh, my God. I wish someone would bring a roller bag.
Oh, someone thought both bags, one episode, were mine. A casual viewer. He was like, why does Scott pack two bags? And then someone responded, well, he's gay. He needed all of his clothes. I was like, what? What is happening?
Also, he's been wearing like literally the same couple outfits like every episode. Isn't that?
Well, so the quick story with the bags is that when we did go back to Chicago to fly home the next day, we went to the Korea Air baggage counter and they were closed for the day.
That happens?
Oh, yes, because they only have that one flight in from Seoul. And, like, it had already arrived or hadn't arrived or something had happened. And then, so we were like, oh, okay. So we went to the ticket counter. Well, they were closed up there, too. So we were like, okay, who's their partner? Like, which alliance are they in? And so we go to, like, Delta and American, and we're like, who works with Korean Air? Can we get our bags? Like, we were up there for 2 hours trying to get our bags. And bless this man who worked for... some airline, I think it was KLM, I don't even think they're a sister airline, he was like, I will go back there and look for them for you. And he went back to where they hold bags that were not picked up, and he's like, I honestly don't see them. And then we got a security guard to go into KLM, or sorry, to Korean Air's office, ticket office, just in case they stored them up there. He unlocked it, went back there, he's like, I don't see them either. And we were like, oh my God, like, they trashed our bags. Which, is again, is fine. Because,
right.
Like, we just won, so I'll
they
just
like,
buy whatever it was.
This bag smells like...
like the world.
The world.
So we're like, oh, well, I guess... okay, I guess we'll just, you know, go home. So we get home... Oh, we leave, like, a claim with Korea Air, who we had to call in Korea, by the way.
Cool.
Which was cool. We get home. So she lives in New York. I live in L.A. We get home, and American Airlines is a sister airline.
Oh.
So they called us back and they said, we found your bags. They are in Chicago and we will put them on the next American Airlines flight to both of your cities, which luckily we live in like the two biggest cities.
Super
so
fast.
I got mine 6 hours later.
Oh,
so
cool.
I just had to drive back to LAX and pick it up. And it was on the carousel like it arrived on American Airlines. It was so awesome.
And you're but, like, oh, an airport. I feel like home.
Yeah, I was like, oh, hey, LAX. I just was in you yesterday. Oh. So yeah, I had to wear my Finish Line clothes
For two days
because of that. So I flew home to LAX with nothing but my fanny pack.
See, that's gay.
And now if you, I think I've said this, I alluded to this, but now you know who the final three are. If you watch the opening credits, you can see how tired we all are. And now you can look at me and Brooke because we're wearing the exact same clothes because we had no other clothes with us.
I thought that you guys looked like great.
I couldn't tell
who was tired.
Oh, my beard is like askew. My hair's an afro.
Yeah, but you could have done that to throw us all off. You're very strategic.
That's true.
Maybe you grew it out in sequester. You never know.
Could have happened.
Well, you looked really cute in that little racing helmet.
Thank you.
You looked so hot in that outfit.
Oh,
I was
gosh.
Like,
go on.
Damn, Scotty. You looked so good.
I actually wanted to steal that outfit.
Was that just so fun?
Oh my gosh. When we got there, well, I want you to know when we were flying into Chicago, we were kind of brainstorming where they would go. And I started listing out all the places they went at the previous finale in Chicago, which was season 6. I know in the show I say season 9. Oops. But season 6 is when they had the finale in Chicago. And I was like, here's what they did in that episode. And I wrote it down. One of them is the water tower where we went. And I was like, this is where I think they are. We need to know where these places are. We would go to the flight attendants and ask them where they were. So we had those addresses locked down.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. So we're like, okay, if we go to any of these places, we know where they are. And then I wrote down the Buckingham Fountain. So actually, two of the three clues for the postcard challenge, mm-hmm. I already had written down.
Oh.
So I was like, oh, water tower, that was in a previous season. Here's the address. I already have it. Buckingham Fountain, knew that was going to be a thing. Here's the address for that. So we just had to find the Wabash Bridge thing.
That's awesome.
But anyway, with that being said, oh gosh, I lost my train of thought. We were going to Chicago.
Oh,
the Speedway.
Racing.
I was like, I bet we go to Wrigley Field, and I bet it's something to do with like racing somehow.
Yeah. You got to go to Wrigley Field. I knew that was going to happen.
And
the cameraman
was funny because right when I said that, they definitely turned the camera towards me, and they're like, where do you want to go? And I was like, Wrigley Field, because I'm not a baseball fan, but when I was younger, for some reason, I had this affinity for the Cubs.
Interesting.
It's very weird. And I think it's because I loved Wrigley Field. Like, I think the oldness of it.
Iconic.
It's iconic, and it's beautiful, and this is no joke. I love the hand-operated scoreboard.
Really?
We will get to that when we get to that challenge. But yeah, so when they were like, drive to the Chicagoland Speedway, I was like, I knew it. We're going to race around, and then there's going to be a second like portion to this challenge. I don't know what it is. And on the way, I was like, Brooke, clearly I'm racing because it's a stick shift.
Oh.
She could drive a stick shift, but I was like, no, but I drive it like you just learned it for the race. Like, this is not right. The day for you to try.
We're not learning a clutch today.
also, I drive in LA all the time, and she does not drive every day in New York. So I was like, clearly I'm the driver right now, right? Yeah. And so when we found out she had to change a tire, we were like, those are heavy.
No heavy lifting.
So, no, but we did great. So when we got there and we found out that was the challenge, I'm like, oh, my God. But it's intimidating. You're going like 150, 160?
That gave me a lot of anxiety watching you do that.
Oh, my God. It was – I – I didn't think I had a fear of speed. I don't know if I have a fear of speed. It's the pressure of, okay, it's the Amazing Race into the last challenge. Obviously. Mom and Dad were right behind us. And you had to go between these cones on the racetrack. So it wasn't like just do a lap. They like guided you with cones. And some of the cones were literally on the wall. And you had to get on the wall.
Oh.
To get to 43 seconds, 40, whatever it was, 40 seconds?
Less than 48 or less than 45?
Well, gosh, that's bad. I'm a bad person.
I think it was 48 seconds.
Whatever it was, yeah. You had to go within all of those checkpoints for it to actually hit. That's why they had them, because okay. That's the design of the track. But my roadblock in my head.
There's a safety aspect to that, too.
Yeah, because it, well, you know, it propels you.
Yeah.
Like the inertia of the car, if you are driving like an oval, you're able to whip around the corner safer. But anyway, that was my mental roadblock. I didn't want to get close to the wall because it was intimidating. I'm like, if I hit it at 160 miles an hour, like we're going to be in a wreck because the guy next to me, I had the coolest dude. I'm so glad he made the episode. He got the episode title, actually.
Oh, really?
Yeah. We're going to victory lane. He was coaching me through it and he's like, Scott, it's just mental. You're actually a couple feet away from the wall. Anyway, I feel like I'm talking in circles now, but it was this idea of he doesn't have a steering wheel or a brake pedal.
Right.
He's it's just all sitting there. So like if I do something wrong, it really is going to be detrimental.
I've also seen enough NASCAR clips
mm-hmm.
to know that when those cars spiral, they fucking spiral. Like yeah. It goes.
Well, and I think that's also mental too, because we sit in cars that are high up. Just by design off of mm-hmm. the road. So there is that whole, they can slide or they can flip over or whatnot. But what I learned about the car and driving it, and he kept telling me this too, he's like, Scott, this is not like a normal car. We sit on the ground. So like the inertia and the gravity is actually pulling you down. So you're not going to flip the car. That's actually what I kept saying. I was like, I feel like I'm going to flip the car by turning it so sharply. Yeah. He's like, no, you actually need to manhandle it to get
That's why they
go.
Like skid instead of flip.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting. So you're looking to replace your Prius now or what?
I think those were Chevrolets. Thanks, Chevy.
Hey, that was my first car.
Yeah.
Well, that was a blast. And then you guys got that victory lane and you got the champagne.
I was so shocked all that was happening. I think you can tell. I'm like, what is happening? We have girls and we have champagne and confetti. And I'm like, and in the back of my mind, I'm like, can we go?
I know. I was like, they were like, okay, so now you're going to pop bottles. And I know the last thing that Scott Flannery wants to do right now is pop a goddamn bottle.
He oh, yeah.
Fucking
oh,
go.
Yeah. Because when my guide said we're going to Victory Lane, I thought that was like a saying to like go park the car. No. Like you saw the sign,
it's Victory Lane.
I had to go over there and drive through. And then, no, it was funny. It's not. We're never directed on the race, but there's definitely producers over there, and they're like, okay, you have to, like, pop the bottle, and you have to, you know, there's, like, they were directing us, I guess, for that shot.
They set it all up, so they needed
Yeah, I mean, it was a beautiful shot, but yeah, in the back of my mind, I'm like, can we go?
Yeah, I don't want to
we still have to take these outfits off.
With champagne. Oh, so you were nice and champagne-y, too, when you got on that plane.
Oh, yeah, I had champagne on my face. Uh-huh.
That's how
in my beard.
That's how every day should be. Should always have champagne on my face.
And that's where we got our Amazing Race hats.
Oh,
the six of us, because you got the hats part of Victory Lane.
That's cool.
Yeah,
that was a blast. And then it was postcard time.
And it was postcard time. So we, oh my gosh,
I love that you guys used someone's cell phone. By the way,
oh yeah,
don't know why. I haven't seen more of that. Like, I guess other countries, you know, it's not like you can grab someone's iPhone quite as easily, but it was so, she was right there. And she, by the way, that girl whose phone in the subway that you used just did not look thrilled. Her face. I was like, girl, you won the season finale of a good show. And she
know,
was
right?
like, I like really need to go. Are you guys done yet? Like, she.
No, actually, it's so funny to see me walk up to her on camera and then ask her that question, because she ended up being super nice. She was like, oh, yeah, I have nowhere to be. Like, she missed like three trains for us. And we're just sitting there taking it down. And there's actually on the spoiler websites, there's a picture of me and Brooke on that phone with that woman next to us. And I think she posted it. She's like, no bigs, just helping Amazing Race people win or something like that.
Oh,
and it was super
funny.
Cute. I was like, well, she's very valid. She's allowed to have that picture up because we're in the public eye.
Right.
She has our cameraman in it, too. It's pretty cool. But no, she was very calm, and like, I don't think she cared about the Amazing Race, but she knew like the stakes that we had. So she's like, whatever.
Understand it.
Yeah, take my phone.
Yeah, that was brilliant. A little pink iPhone.
Oh my God. And thank God it worked in the subway.
Okay, I was wondering that too. That was one of my questions. How do you get service on the Chicago subway?
I have no idea.
I want to know what carrier that was.
I should have looked.
We'll let you sponsor the podcast.
Yes. How about all of you sponsor us, and then we'll figure it out later. I want to tell you before I go on with the postcard piece, the taxi driver that we had from Chicago Airport to the Speedway, they waited, and then they took us back to...
Oh, cool.
Oh, and here's the thing. We didn't just like randomly go to the Monroe station. We actually had to ride the L. That was a part of the challenge they cut out.
Oh, really?
Which I know to people who live in Chicago or New York or any metropolis with a subway, you're like, that's not a challenge. But for those people who don't live in a city like that, or me, I don't live in Chicago. I understand how subways work, but it's still intimidating. You're like, okay, we know we have to get to Monroe Station. Which train is that? How do I buy my tickets? It's the very basics. Mm-hmm. And you're just in race mode. So you're like, I don't know how to, okay, figure it out.
We've seen in these episodes, like, the, for example, the boys' elimination, like these little moments that are supposed to be simple can really fuck you.
Yeah.
So, oh, yeah. So, oh, wait. So that's perfect, though, because then you drove on the Speedway and then Brooke's from New York. So she got to drive the subway.
Yeah. Yes. No, our taxi driver was the best taxi driver we had the entire race. Redmond and Matt weren't the only ones to have bad ones throughout the race. It was just the only one that made the show. We all had them. But Brooke and I consistently had bad taxis. And I'm like, of all the legs to have a guy who was going like 120, by the way, on the freeway. Because he knew what the Amazing Race was. I was like, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God. And then it's super weird because we had security behind us. Because the final three teams, we all have a security detail. It sounds so funny. But they had to keep up with us. So you see, it looks like a cop car following us. You see them like swerving in traffic behind us, like trying to keep up.
Way to go, cab driver.
I know. I was like, oh my, and he was whipping. He was going through traffic. I was scared.
Even though you had just driven like
yeah, but I was like, no, keep going. No, keep going. Keep going. We need to stay ahead. Yeah, yeah, yeah. So he dropped us off. We gave him a huge tip. Dropped him off at a subway station. We walked in and immediately this like really sassy black woman, she was getting off work. She was like, oh my goodness, because she saw all the cameras. And I was like, girl, we're on the Amazing Race. I need you. Because she had her MTA or whatever their initials are that she worked for the subway system. And I was like, girl, we're going to the Monroe Station. Like, here's my cash. Can you? I don't know how to do this. And she's right. Like, okay. And she like went to the machine and bought our tickets for us. And she's like, you up this platform, second on the right, you're taking the first train and you'll be there in 10 minutes. And I was like, thank you. Like,
so you guys really rocked out the casualties this episode.
Oh my
That's
God.
Great.
People wanted to help. We even had a family there. They were like, they jumped out of the way of the ticket counter. They're like, oh yes, go, go, go. And like, we needed something like change for a 10 or something. And for some reason, no one had change but this family, but they only had like a 5 and a 1. And we're like, great. Oops. We accidentally dropped $4. Thanks so much. And we just took the 6 and moved on because you can't give money for help. Mm. So we were like, oops.
Mm. Yeah, what are you
gonna
do?
Okay, anyway.
Gotta go.
So yeah, we got to Monroe
Checks
Station.
Checks in the mail,
by...
do whatever you want. Checks in the mail, say whatever you want.
No, it's, and for those who are being critical, that was not a breaking of the rules. It's fine. Anyway, I'll move on. We went to Monroe Station, and it's actually really long. It's like 50 yards long.
Okay.
It's huge. And so it runs into another station. So we thought it was going to be a poster. So that's why we bypassed the man.
Oh.
I knew it wasn't going to be a clue box. I'm like, that's too easy for the finale. But we still had race blinders on, meaning we were only looking for a poster. So that's why we didn't see his hat when we first passed by. But then when we saw him and we got to the note, we met this girl and started going through. Luck would have it, I had two of the locations already written down just because I thought they would be highlighted.
So smart.
And then, I think one of the only times we sort of fight is when Brooke just wanted to jump on the subway and go, and I was like, no, we need to map out the order we go to them because you need it the shortest way possible.
Yeah, you got
to. So that's why you see me point the subway map. Like, we have to go here, here, and here. And the reason is you could only ride the subway or walk or run.
Oh,
for
no
this
more
part of the leg.
Okay.
Yeah, so for those who are probably wondering why none of us took taxis, it was in the rules for that section of the race you could not take one.
Okay.
So lots of running, 6.5 miles worth. And we went point to point. Like, we actually did not mess up. And what's funny is, so they actually...
I think this is why I didn't mean the episode was like easy or anything. I just feel like it was so smooth for you guys.
Because we were really firing on all cylinders. That's why. Yeah, we were like thinking ahead and just very intentional with what we were doing. And it was, admittedly, probably one of the first times it felt that way.
I was going to say, too bad you didn't have that for the mannequin challenge.
I hear you. But, you know, the postcard challenge looks easy on TV. And even if, here I am telling you, I assumed two of the spots just without even knowing the challenge. But, Lolo and Mom and Dad, you know, they didn't plan an order, right? Or even Mom and Dad got one wrong.
Yeah, which
but,
and, sucks.
And, you know, any of those add to, you know, the placement. Like, if Lolo didn't plan an order, they just went to them. You know, you might be backtracking. Mm-hmm. But so they don't show us, usually they show the first place team reading the next clue before they describe what it is. But you'll notice they don't show us saying, oh, we have to go to City Hall. They just have Phil doing a voiceover. And it's because we had two of the postcards and I read Itty Hall. So when I was asking for instructions to the fountain, I was like, while I have you, Chicagoite, where's City Hall? So they gave us directions from the fountain to City Hall. So that's why when we got to the fountain, I was like, off to City Hall. Like, I already knew where we were going.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. So we went to City Hall to the beekeeper. Which, by the way, that garden is not open to the public. I tried to go back.
You did?
Yeah.
That was so fucking random.
We thought... you could see that, I think you can tell we're still stressed out because we hadn't seen any team since Chicagoland Speedway. And Mom and Dad are marathoners.
Yeah.
Dad is an ultra marathoner. And I'm like, there's like, no offense to us, like we're just not the fastest running team.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was like, oh, we're clearly not in the lead. In fact, when we went to City Hall, I asked the security guard, I was like, how many teams have been here? And he's like, I don't know, which I found out later production tells them they can't tell you. And I was like, trying to bribe him. I go, I can drop this $100 bill.
How much money did you get?
As I'm running, by the way, I didn't just stop and like try to do this. Like we're running to the elevators.
Oh, I picture it exactly like that. How much money did you get to spend in Chicago?
For that leg? Oh, for that leg, it was a lot. It was like $350.
Wow.
But it's because we had to go way outside of Chicago to the Chicago Speedway. So the taxi was expensive both ways. So we get down from the beekeeper, still haven't seen anybody, but we can, at that point, the moment you get the beekeeper's clue, you can then start riding taxis again.
Okay.
So we get into a taxi, and it wasn't until we got to the bridge where we saw Mom and Dad, and we're like, oh my God, like, to know that they were still on the postcard challenge, what are the odds?
Yeah, I can't believe you saw them.
What are the odds of us running into them?
That was such a cool shot, because we also got to see the cameraman running behind you.
I have to spoil the illusion for a second. Brooke and I were so in our heads about, okay, Wrigley Field dogs, and we're like planning what this means. If it's an eating challenge, I was going to do it. If it's, you know, like a making hot dog challenge, she would do it. You know, we're just like thinking ahead. And so we're just not even looking outside the car windows. And all of a sudden, we're getting interviewed about where we think we are. Now, every once in a while when you're getting interviewed, I'm like, okay, that's a clue to what's going on around
you. They're searching for something.
I'm like, they probably need a soundbite for something. And they're like, what place do you think you're in? And I go, well, we haven't seen a team. Like, I really feel confident. We've run a good leg. I think we're in first or second. And they're like, have you seen any teams? And I go, no, we haven't seen any teams. And they go, have you looked outside the window recently? I go, no, I haven't looked out. And I was like, oh, maybe I should look outside the window. And that's when we saw Mom and Dad. So our camera crew kind of just poked at us to like look up just 2 seconds.
Yeah, but that is still incredible happenstance.
Right. It still is. It's how they got that shot, actually. So I understand why they did it. It didn't impact the race.
Right.
They just want us to see them. But that gave us some new light because we love Lolo, but I wasn't that confident that if Mom and Dad were behind, that Lolo wasn't ahead of us. I was like, no, we're good. And then we knew we were in the lead once we got to Wrigley Field because no numbers were up.
Yeah, you could tell.
Yeah.
Yeah, you guys killed that too.
Oh my God.
And your little hat with your little
radio.
Did
you like my little hat? I got gloves too. I kept it all.
That was so cute. The hot dog thing was like, I was like, we're killing time here, I feel like.
Oh, another thing they cut from the finale, we made those all 10 hot dogs. Like there was a challenge.
See, I was wondering, I was like, why are they just taking hot dogs to people? Like, this is not like...
Doesn't that sound crazy?
Yeah, I thought it was so weird.
Yeah, we had to... The guy who was there, that cute guy. Yeah, he actually instructed us on how to do it.
I will say, Lolo's wrapped hot dogs, pretty beautiful. I noticed that out of all the teams, I feel like, I mean, everyone was in a hurry, yeah. but I feel like their hot dogs looked really lovely.
Yeah.
They were wrapped so nicely.
I felt like we were at Kimchi Part 2 because it was the exact same thing where you had to put things in the right order.
What kind of stuff was on them?
Oh,
was
gosh.
Was it that hard?
Well, I had my notebook, and Brooke and I wrote down, as the guy was making hot dogs, the order. And we even said the exact same thing that he said because we didn't want the judges to think we got anything wrong. So he would say, he literally said something like, you open the warmer, you grab a bun, you grab your tongs. And then I would go over there and I'm like, you open the warmer, you grab your bun, you grab the tongs. And they were looking at us like, why are you repeating everything he says? And I looked at production. I was like, I'm not fucking this up.
How many did you make?
We made all 10.
So you made 10 hot, what?
10 hot dogs.
What so it's was like on a, them? Was it complicated?
Gosh, it's, well, yeah, because a Chicago hot dog is not.
Oh, because there's a bunch of shit on there.
Yeah, it's like tomatoes and they have like hot peppers that they call something else. And then there's relish and mustard. And I'm glad you're not asking me on the race right now.
Because that's your memory challenge.
Yeah. No, Brooke will probably know. She has a better memory than me. But yeah, we had to make 10 hot dogs and then take them up. And yes, I knew it was Ernie and Cindy. People keep asking me.
What?
Ernie and Cindy won a previous season of The Amazing Race. And they were the people who gave us next
oh,
clue.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
And I like registered who they were, but I also didn't care. No, it's like I was like, I have to go.
Right. You're busy.
Like, thank you. You don't know who I am. You haven't seen the season yet, right? Bye. And so, and we knew Memory Challenge was coming up too. We won it all the time. So we're like, okay, bye. So we went into Wrigley Field and it's my favorite as a super fan. It's my favorite part of the whole Amazing Race is the Memory Challenge. When we got there, I was like, "Oh my god, oh my god, oh my god!" And it was the scoreboard.
Yeah, that was cool.
It was the scoreboard, which is my favorite part of the Wrigley Field, which is so random.
No, it's cool because it's like classic.
Mm-hmm.
It's not modernized. You guys killed it. It was like so simple for you. And then the clue after that, when you were doing it, was like a math memory clue.
Yeah, all you had to do is turn around and look at your placements.
Yeah.
I mean, we knew them, but yeah, that I think they were trying to throw you off because there's some verbiage in the clue that does throw you off. It says something like section 504, but that actually means like row.
Okay.
So there was a terminology that they use in the clue that they don't use in the stadium.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But I mean, that was such a minor detail that it didn't throw anyone off.
Yeah.
But no, we were up there. Someone was like, you can see how long they were up there because the clock is up there as well. So the challenge, it felt like 5 minutes, but apparently took us just about half an hour.
And then you jumped on the
mat. We got it.
What, you knew you were in first.
Yes.
So you get there and everyone's there and it's like, what do you even, do you black out a little? Like,
I don't even, well, luckily the park
entrance.
Thank
God someone was filming this.
Right. The park entrance is like sort of awkward, by the way. It's next to a sanitation or water treatment plant or something. So when the taxi driver dropped us off, we were like, water treatment? No, no, no. Like a park, like Milton Olive Park. And then like, imagine we're right outside of it and we're getting a phone. Like we're doing the whole thing again. Does anyone know where Milton Olive Park is? And everyone like around there goes, it's right there. Like it's literally to your left. Just look. Like, that's how freaked out you get when the adrenaline is going so much.
Oh, no, especially when you're going to win. Not just when you're going to, like, win a leg. Like,
oh,
when you're
right. Like,
win.
We knew this. Yeah, this is the finish line. And then it was because the gates were closed, too. So we were confused. And it's because, obviously, it's security.
The
so
public,
they were only
yeah.
opening it up for the teams. So we were running towards them. And they're like, oh. And they opened the gates for us. But they, I guess that threw us off.
Yeah.
So we're running this last little bit. And I was just like, I remember that moment. Because I go, wait, what? Like, those are all the teams. There's Phil. There's the cameras. Like, this is a moment that I've seen on TV so, so many times. And I can't even process what's going on. And what's cute, so you see me jump on the mat. And it was super scary because there was a helicopter that actually swooped down for that shot. That was not
cool.
A crane. That was a freaking helicopter that had followed us throughout the whole race. They followed
Who
the first place team.
Who uses helicopters anymore?
There were like 6 or 7 up in the air.
What?
During the whole final leg.
That's expensive. We got to use drones. Okay. Could have a helicopter, but you couldn't buy the finale party. Please, CBS. Go on.
No, I just, it was weird because they followed us the whole leg. And so I'm surprised they got a lot of good sound out of us because when we're running, all we heard were choppers above us.
Yeah.
Because they were getting so many overhead shots. But yeah, that one swooped down at the end right when I jumped on the mat, and it scared the crap out of me. And then Phil does his you've been 17 cities, 9 countries, 36,000 miles. You're the winners. And then they're like, okay, we need you to run in again. We had to run in 5 times.
Fine. That's five fine. Times.
And of course, it's continuity. So you have to do the same thing all the time. So like I had to jump on obnoxiously the mat 5 times. Brooke had to be slightly behind me 5 times. And everyone had to appear very excited 5 times.
Oh my God.
And I felt so bad.
I was going to say, everyone who got kicked off is like, fucking okay.
We get God. It. They won.
Like rub it in a little more.
Yeah.
How far behind were the other teams?
Mom and Dad were 35-ish minutes behind us.
Okay.
And then Lolo was about an hour and 20 behind us. So okay. That means, I guess, 50 minutes behind Mom and Dad. So, yeah, it was weird. Because it's weird because you do your interview with Phil, you know, and then everything's kind of done. So you just kind of stand there. You're just waiting.
So like, you just kind of waited for them to, I mean.
Yeah, and they didn't want us talking to the eliminated teams yet.
Okay.
Because A, they wanted it on camera, and B, you don't really know when the next team is coming, so they didn't want us to move from our spot. So, oh. You know, continuity and all that.
Everyone was just, like, standing there sweating.
Yeah, so you're just staring at each other. I'm like, hey, guys, hey. Race is over. We're still waiting for second
place. That's
so
awkward.
Yeah. And when luckily when Mom and Dad came up, we actually got to, you know, listen to their interviews, so there was something to do. But then again, there was downtime again as we're waiting for Lolo, and we're all like, doo-doo-doo, just wait, because the race is not officially over yet until
like,
they
can
cross.
Can I get, like, a little craft services or something over here?
Yeah. So, oh, man, it was so crazy to hear Phil say that to you.
Like you won.
You know what I did? I actually, when we were waiting, I sat down on the carpet and starfished the red carpet. I was like, I've always wanted to touch this red carpet. I'm just going to do this real quick.
You like snow angeled it?
I snow angeled it. Yeah. Everyone thought I was crazy. I was like, excuse me.
You were probably like a little high at that point.
Yes, I was. Just for super fans, it's a normal carpet that they only roll out.
Like a polyester blend? Or like a, what do you think?
It's like what you would have in your mom's house. They actually vacuum it right before you step on it. And it's rolled up except for the 1 or 2 days a year. It's unrolled.
Oh, that's
funny. Isn't that funny?
They use the same one?
Yeah, it's the same one since season one.
Wow.
Because it's only been used, what, 17 times? Or, wait.
29?
29 times.
I was like, what?
I meant 17 years, but.
Oh. God.
Yeah. A little fun fact for you. I'm sorry, I kind of hijacked. I was so excited. The adrenaline's pumping through.
What else are we going to talk about? Are you kidding? I didn't win $500,000. What? So
there's not
now
really
what?
Fun, like, alliance stories or drama behind the scenes, because it was just very, like, go and, like, everyone's in it for themselves, this leg, you know? So even if Lolo and us were running together, I think we would have ditched each other during the postcard challenge.
Of course.
Like,
it's the final episode. There's
yeah, what
no
am I going to help you do?
Yeah. So, like, on. What do you do now?
I go.
Did you go to work on Friday?
Yeah, I actually worked
you
on
did?
Friday.
I wanted to ask you. I was like, what do you.
I worked from home, though. I worked from home. So I heard everyone was like a buzz and super excited. It was so sweet. I was appreciative.
Yeah, you're kidding. That's the most exciting thing that happened at an accounting firm in a long time.
What do you do? And I'm just excited. I get a couple more interviews. I get to. Tell my story a little bit more, and then where do we go from here?
Yeah, where do you go?
I would love to be on Survivor.
Are you going to, like, pitch that?
I started my own hashtag, Scott on Survivor.
Oh, great. Well, that's important for us to know.
People have
hashtag
retweeted
Scott
it.
Scott on Survivor.
Yeah. There seems to be some people really interested in it because people have valued the strategic game.
Are you... If you were brought an option for All Stars season 30, if that's something they do.
Mm-hmm. Like, I don't think they are.
They're not going to do it?
I don't think so, but go on if it is.
Like, how do you feel about that?
Oh, absolutely.
100%.
Yeah, I had an interview yesterday with The Wrap, WRAP, if you want to check out what they got out of us. There was a flywheel cast spin class this
what?
Weekend. Yeah, Phil Kogan, the host, joined us, and we did a spin class for
oh, that's so
fans.
Fun.
Yeah, and The Wrap was there to cover that, and then they pulled Brooke and I to the side for a few questions.
Perfect. Brooke's specialty, spinning.
Yeah, yes, yes. And it was her instructor from New York.
No.
He moved to LA, yeah. AKA my future husband. He's so hot.
Oh, really?
Yes. His name is Steven.
Hi, Steven.
Hey, Steven.
You met my friend Scott?
Too bad.
How do you feel about being a gold digger, Steven?
He has a partner. Oh, it's so sad. But anyway, we were asked if it was season 30 All-Stars. There's the consideration that it would be 22 single All-Stars. And they would do the stranger pick again.
That sounds cool.
So who would we go with is what they asked.
Yeah, I asked you that last podcast. Who would you pick?
Yeah, I came up with my answer. Well,
what's
one
your answer?
Of my answers.
Okay.
Laura Pearson. She was half of the winning team in season 26.
Okay.
Which she coincidentally is the other stranger winner. She and Tyler won, and they were strangers when they started the race.
Why her?
She, I still want a female because I still feel like there's something that women can do better than men. A lot of things women can do better than men, and I want to balance the team. But
I'll write you a list one day.
She is very physical. She's very positive. She was very congenial with everyone else on her season. So I know that if I wanted to play a strategy game again, she would, I like to say, move out of the way. You know,
mm-hmm.
And that's what I want someone to do. I want someone to be on equal playing field with me, but like, I know I got this strategy piece down pat. Can I please just run with this? And I feel like she would match all of that.
That's so fun.
And I think she'd be open to partnering with me. I've seen her a couple times.
Let's manifest this for you.
Okay.
Hashtag Scott on Survivor. Hashtag Scott and Laura. That's going to be like some of that and then some of like somebody, random person's like wedding pictures or something.
Right. That'd be super cute. But yeah. And then podcasting with you.
That's what we're doing, folks.
Yeah.
Please stay tuned because we are going to go back to your regularly scheduled, not according to plan, to follow up, which... we'll see how that goes because I feel like it's been a hot minute. We are going to take a week off, though.
Oh, we are?
Yeah.
Yay, vacation!
Yes! We're going to take a week off next week because it has been quite crazy pumping out these episodes after every every week. Because sometimes, you know, we'll record a couple podcasts closer together. But because of the race, we've had to be on such a schedule based on the episodes. So we're going to take a little time off.
Just in time for Gay Pride.
Just in time for Gay Pride.
Happy Gay Pride, everybody.
Happy Gay Pride. That's why we're doing it. So you'll have this episode on Wednesday, and then next Wednesday be a brief halt to collect ourselves because I have to get my shit together because I keep crying every time I think about you. And
you.
Then we'll be back on as scheduled. And we have some more fun guests coming, guys. Not like non-racer guests,
yes,
which is
non-racers.
Fun. Some people who are out of the reality world. Some pretty cool. Fun people. You better subscribe in the meantime to Not According to Plan, and you better rate, and if you could review us, you know, I bought these microphones, not Scott, so if you could review us, it's going to me. Technically the help is going to me, so don't feel like, you know, you're donating to a millionaire. I know you want to correct me so much.
Go on, keep going.
So, yes, please do all of those things. Like our Facebook page. I put up some fun pictures in there. And you can follow me at Sam Valentine. Also, at @1 Broke Actress. And onebrokeactress.com as well as that. And you can find Scott at Scott Flannery everywhere. And on Facebook, he is Tar29 Scott Flannery. And keep it lively. Keep it interesting because the race is over, but Scott has just begun.
Ooh, I like that. Sounds like a plan.
Hashtag Scott on Survivor.
Hashtag Scott on Survivor.
That would be fun.
Thanks for being along on this crazy journey with us, listeners.
It's been so fun.
Oh, my gosh.
I'm so proud of you.
Thank you very much.
I don't know if I can say it enough.
Thank you. Oh, Caleb's on the podcast.
Okay, that was a moment. I'm not cutting it.
That's a moment.
All right, it's official. There's nothing more we can do. You won the amazing race, and Caleb talked on the podcast. So
okay,
now
I'll
we got to go.
Now. Oh my gosh, bye.
And that didn't go according to plan for today, did it?
Cut it now.
Bye.
Bye.